So friends, we celebrate this weekend the Feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. And the Christian celebration of Pentecost corresponds with the Jewish celebration of Pentecost. They also call it Shavuot. It's 50 days after the Passover, and they commemorate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. So if you remember the book of Exodus, the Israelites are freed from slavery in Egypt. They celebrate the Passover, and then they journey for 50 days into the desert. And when Moses and the Israelites reach Mount Sinai, right, it's 50 days. And then God gives them the law, the Torah, the commandments of God. And so the Jews celebrate 50 days after the first Passover, Shavuot, Pentecost. Right? It also corresponds to the early summer grain harvest, and so it became sort of a grain feast as well. And so the giving of the Holy Spirit 50 days after Easter, right, for Jesus as a Jew and the early disciples as a Jew, right, this would have been the context in which they would have understood the significance of this day, right, 50 days after Easter. And I think what the Lord is inviting with the giving of the Holy Spirit is that we see Pentecost as the giving of a new Torah, right? The giving of a new teaching, right? Torah obviously characterizes the first five books of the Bible, but just at a more fundamental level, it just means God's teaching to us. And so the Holy Spirit is the giving of a new Torah, right? Not on Mount Sinai, but on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, the upper room, the gift of Pentecost. And so when Jesus tells them to stay in Jerusalem, so we hear in the first reading today from Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost story. But in Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends, right, 40 days after Easter. We celebrated this last weekend, right? But right before he ascends in Acts chapter 1, he says to the disciples, he says, I want you to stay in Jerusalem because it's there that I'm going to send you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right, so these are all men from Galilee, and so they would have been inclined to just probably go back to Galilee. But he says, stay here in Jerusalem. He knows that this was one of the, Shavuot was one of the pilgrimage feasts of the Jews. They would have had to journey to Jerusalem. So they were going to go back to Galilee and just come back to Jerusalem anyway, 10 days later for the feast, the Jewish feast of Pentecost. So he says, stay in Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which I will give you, which he sends 10 days later on the gift of Shavuot. And so what I want to suggest is, what is this new teaching gives us? Right? And I want to focus just on two things. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us the art of unity in the midst of diversity and the gift of radical reconciliation. So first, unity in the midst of diversity, right? This is the great motto of the United States, e pluribus unum, right? Out of the many, one. And I think we all know how difficult this is to achieve, right? How do you bring together unity and diversity, right? This is the hardest thing in the world. This is really hard for our civil society, right? This is really hard in the church. This is really hard in our organizations. This is really hard at the university. This is really hard in our families. Like, how do you, because if you err on one side, right, you have problems, right? If there's too much uniformity, right, it gets stuffy. You lose the incredible variety and spontaneity of human diversity, right? It becomes a kind of monolith, right, which is not adventurous and exciting, right? You lose the perspective of a ton of different voices. Right? But if you go too far on the side of diversity, right, you lose stability. You lose any sense of common purpose and mission. Right? How do you unite together on something if you're all going in scattered directions? Right? So unity sort of in the extreme is not ideal. Diversity in the extreme is not ideal. How do you find this incredible e pluribus unum, out of the many, one? So the first reading and the second reading call us to this ideal, right? The first Pentecost, right? You have an amazing number of languages, right? And this incredible miracle in which they hear their own native tongue, right? Out of the multiplicity of languages, they hear their own native tongue, right? God is speaking unity in the midst of the diversity of their cultures and languages. And then in the second reading, St. Paul gives us, again, the image of the metaphor of the body and how though there are many parts in the body has to be integrated as one. And so I might be a toe and you might be a finger and one of you is the heart and, right, we're all different parts, but they need to function together in an integrated whole, for the full functioning of Christ's body. And so, friends, we're called into that challenge, that art of trying to find unity in the midst of diversity. So I want to tell a little story about my trip. You probably know I was just in the Holy Land with 38 students or recent alums, and Kim as well was with us. And so you can see some pictures in the bulletin, and if you want to see all 9 days of pictures, you can follow us on Facebook, and you see kind of a snapshot of all 9 days of our trip. But on one of the last days, we went to the traditional site of the Upper Room, okay, which is the site of the Last Supper, but also the site of Pentecost, right? They're gathered there in the Upper Room 10 days after the Ascension. And as we were waiting outside before we went up for, I think, some students to go to the bathroom or something. And on this site is a Jewish school, because it's also the tomb of David, the king of Israel, right? The tomb of David is on the site. So there's a Jewish boarding school that's there. And while we were waiting, a couple of students looked in this window that was open, and they saw a number of the high school Jewish boys playing ping pong, okay? I don't know if you know this about me, and I hate to brag, but I'm a good ping pong player, okay? In fact, I've never lost in my 6 years at the University of Toledo, and we have one downstairs, so if anyone wants to challenge me after Mass, I'm happy to do that. But of course, some of these students yelled out to these boys in the school, our priest can beat you. And it was kind of surprising because it was the Sabbath, so I was surprised they were playing ping pong. We found out that seems to be leisure, so you can play a little ping pong on the Sabbath. But anyway, so I think illegally, they snuck in me and a number of the students into this boarding school. Okay? And we engaged in an epic battle of ping pong. Okay? Now, this was right under the Upper Room. Okay? Now, meanwhile, our group went up and they couldn't find me. And so they went up to the Upper Room and started the tour. I missed the whole thing, which is unfortunate. But this was more fun, I have to admit. Cassie was there. I don't know if anybody else was here. Long story short, I won, as you can imagine. I won, though they were formidable opponents. But there was this incredible act of strange unity over the game of ping pong. We don't share religious views. Me and these Jewish students, we do not share cultural similarities in many ways. But over something human, right, we shared an experience of playing ping pong and having fun together and talking and getting to know each other. And so often with E Pluribus Unum, there has to be a human connection, right? The way we get over diversity, right, and find some unity is often our common humanity, right? We don't always have to focus on the areas where we disagree or where we, don't see eye to eye, but instead on the common features of our humanity. The other thing I mentioned, when I did eventually get up to the Upper Room, you have all these tour groups in which the guides are speaking in different languages. So we're stuffed into the Upper Room, and we have an Asian group over here, we have an African group over here speaking in different languages to their tour groups. And it was really an incredible, to think about the place of Pentecost, and you have all these diverse languages, right, telling the story of Pentecost, right, kind of drove home sort of this challenge of E Pluribus Unum. So I would invite us to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives as we try to find that balance in our lives. Very difficult in our families, in our politics, in our church, to find unity in the midst of diversity. But that remains the challenge, I think, of the Holy Spirit and the challenge that our country gives us as well in our motto. The second thing, I think, a feature of the new Torah that the Holy Spirit wants to give us is radical reconciliation. That only the Holy Spirit can do this. And I don't know if you were struck by this in the gospel. This was also the gospel the second Sunday of Easter. Father Phil Smith was here, so I didn't preach. But I was hearing it, and I was like, it had never occurred to me until that a month ago that this is the first time he's seeing the disciples after they've left him. Right? This is the night of the resurrection in John's account. Right? And it never occurred to me that he has not seen them, except for John, who was at the foot of the cross, the only one that didn't desert. He has not seen any of them since they all left him after the Garden of Gethsemane. And he walks in there, and I've rehearsed the speech I would give to them. Right? It would go something like this. You cowards. You left me and deserted me in my biggest moment of weakness. After I did everything for you for 3 years and cared for you, you left me. You left me out to dry. I can't believe you. There's no way I can forgive you or forget what you've done to me. You have hurt me so deeply in my moments. It would be something like that. What does Jesus do? Walks in. Peace be with you. Breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. He didn't bring it up. How do you not bring it up? Like, you gotta bring it up. Like, what? I mean, that's why I'm calling it radical reconciliation. That is not human. That's divine. Right? That's divine. That there is no way. Just on a human level, you don't dwell on that. I was praying with this image that Jesus has an incredible short-term memory, right? With people that have hurt him. He has an incredible short-term memory, right? What an incredible model for us. And so when I had been praying about that for the last month, and then I went into the upper room, Pentecost, the night of the resurrection, again, also traditionally in the upper room, and I was just praying about that. All the people that I have just on the ways they've hurt me and the injustices with which I think I've been slighted and how I've dwelled on it, and Jesus invites me to have a short-term memory. Doesn't mean we condone it. Doesn't mean we necessarily forget about it. But to not dwell on how people have hurt us. Jesus gives us that model. And that's only the work of the Holy Spirit, in my opinion. That is not a human thing. We want revenge. We want retaliation. We want to make them pay. We want to let them know how disappointed we are in them. Right? That's how I'm inclined. Right? It's the Holy Spirit's work that allows us to transcend that toward radical reconciliation. So friends, as we celebrate our Christian feast of 50 days after Easter, it builds on the Jewish feast of Shavuot, the giving of the Torah, the giving of the teaching, the divine teaching. The Holy Spirit given to us gives us new features of that teaching that we're called to live. May we be open and attuned to the workings of the Holy Spirit so that we too can learn the art and the craft, right, of unity in the midst of diversity and the great gift and